to Medieval Me. It's Wendy, your co-host, and I'm here, or Wendy, your host, here with my co-host, sorry. I'm just excited to get going. So for this episode, we are actually going to start doing a chronology through England using the wives of English kings kind of as our framework. The reason we're going to do that is because this is something I've already written about, something I already have a project on and information on, so it's really easy to pull up and generate and read. But then also because we can use this kind of as a nice skeleton to build around other stories. So if I go through like a good chronology using the lives of these women, then whenever we get into little details and little other stories, I can contextualize it and say, well, remember when we talked about this lady, she was the wife of so-and-so. It's in that era. It's in that time. This is what was going on.
Okay. And it looks like we're going to begin by talking about Matilda of Flanders.
Matilda, is that correct? Of Flanders.
Now, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
She was the wife of William the Conqueror.
Yes.
So is she known as Mrs. William the Conqueror?
No, she would just Matilda of Flanders.
So she didn't change her name to Conqueror when this was done? Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Nope. Matilda of Flanders. We're starting because we did, Hastings last time, Battle of Hastings and William the Conqueror. So we're starting with William the Conqueror's wife and this kind of transition from Anglo-Saxon into Normandy influenced England. And we're just going to start there and kind of go through. But yeah, we're going to start with Matilda of Flanders, who, like we said, was the wife of William the Conqueror. Matilda was born in 1031 to Baldwin of Flanders and his wife Adele. She came from a long line of French nobility and royalty. Her maternal grandfather was a king of France, and she had two brothers, Baldwin, an elder brother, and Robert, who was more than likely younger than her. She was renowned for her beauty, and she had many suitors, one of which was William, who was actually her third cousin. Despite his attempts, Matilda at first did not seem to return his affections. For one thing, William was illegitimate and Matilda was highborn, which put a little bit of a strain in the possibility of them being together. Another issue was the fact they were distant cousins, so it could have been a cause for concern if they were deemed too closely related. And it was also rumored, so not provable, that Matilda was in love with a Saxon nobleman who was living in Flanders. However, William ultimately won her heart. Now, do you have a question?
Well, I was just thinking because, I thought it was really interesting. You talked about that rumors, and I'd seen those rumors too, that she was in love with actually the Saxon. Wasn't he the English ambassador to Flanders at the time? Mm-hmm. Son of Algar, I think was the guy's name.
That's her rumored romance.
Yeah, he was kind of in his youth whenever, but he kind of declined her advances, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
Kind of interesting little story there.
And whether or not that's true, it does kind of play into the legend, you know, William comes over and defeats the Anglo-Saxon king. And if she was involved or in love with the young Saxon, he beat a Saxon there as well for Matilda's heart, which might be where the rumor stemmed from, or there could be truth to it. Who really knows? But William and Matilda were married in either 1052 or 1053 in Normandy, which would have put Matilda's age in her early 20s. William is described as being about 24 at the time of marriage. Despite the early resistance to his advances, the couple appeared to have a happy marriage, with Matilda seemingly devoted to William and William seemingly devoted to her. And there's no indication that William ever fathered any illegitimate children. Very common for kings to have mistresses in this time. Maybe he had mistresses, but no matter the cause, because there are no illegitimate children on the record, it's possible that he was faithful to some extent.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, she had like something like 10 children, didn't she?
Something like that. I don't know how
he'd had much time to have mistresses if he's having 10 kids with her.
Yeah. It's hard to track all of the children, all of the births, because there was so much death in infancy, loss of pregnancy. Girls, a lot of times, aren't seen as important, so their names might be different or misrecorded. Ages sometimes are messed up. You might not know, well, is this one younger, that one older? But they did have quite a few children. Four sons whose names and their birth order are known, and they had at least five daughters, but the birth order and names of the girls isn't certain. Their sons are named Robert, Richard, William Rufus, and Henry. Both William Rufus and Henry would ultimately wear the crown of England. Matilda was heartbroken at the estrangement between her husband William and her eldest son Robert after the two fell out, and she worked to reconcile them while sending money to Robert abroad. As we talked about before, William had supposedly been promised to succeed Edward the Confessor in England. However, everything that happened with the Battle of Hastings had to lead to all of that. William and Harold met in October at Hastings, fighting that famous battle. William won, spent the next months conquering England until he was without a doubt the new ruler and dubbed the Conqueror. And he became king on Christmas Day. However, Matilda spent nearly all of her husband's reign in Normandy. She did come to England a few times, but more often than not, she stayed in her home, which was Normandy. And William would travel to and from, both to see her and to fulfill his duties as Duke. She ultimately died before William. She died on November 2nd, 1083, with William by her side. He had been in England and rushed immediately over to her when he heard of her failing health. He is said to have wept bitterly and mourned her for many days. She would have been 51 or 52 at the time she died, and she is buried at, I can't say it because it's French, but Caen d'Abbaye aux Dames, which she herself had helped found.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because in kind of looking at that history, you mentioned that he was named king on Christmas Day, but she actually wasn't crowned queen until the 11th of May in 1068 in Westminster, which was actually during the Feast of the Pentecost, I understand.
Yep.
And it was presided over by the Archbishop of York at the time. But I think it's interesting because in researching some of the history, William, of course, when he was preparing to invade England, I guess Matilda was the one who outfitted the ship Mora for him.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of neat that she kind of bought this out of her own funds and gave it to him so that he could go be the conqueror of England.
Yep, because that's her husband and, you know, stand by your man.
And it's kind of interesting, too. I guess William, the way I read it, he gave Normandy to his wife during his absence. And I don't know how you can say, here, honey, here's Normandy. It's yours.
But I think whenever you say, well, he gave it, it kind of means he left her as regent or as ruler, because it's like, look, I'm the Duke, yes, but you are my wife, and I love you, and I trust you, and I know your judgment, and I'm over here dealing with business over here, so you take care of it right here. And that was where she just seemed to be most comfortable and most happy. She was from Normandy and Flanders, and that's where she just wanted to live, that's where she wanted to be, and that's where she died and is buried.
That's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is an interesting story that I wanted to share. She stood as the godmother for Matilda of Scotland, who would later become Queen of England.
Yes.
And I guess we're going to talk about her here in a second.
She is next on our list.
But what was interesting, and this might be a nice segue, I guess there is a story out there, whether it's true or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but she would become, Matilda of Scotland would become the Queen of England after marrying Matilda's son, Henry I. But during the christening,
the baby
pulled Queen Matilda's headdress down on top of herself. And it was kind of like an omen or fate speaking
that this baby
would someday be queen.
As well. Yes.
That's kind of a cute little story.
It is a cute little story. Whether or not it's true or not, I love things like that. Couldn't you just see that in like a Disney movie or something?
Yes.
Like that thing happening?
Yes.
I absolutely could too. Okay, well, so that takes us through 1083 when she died, and then William would go on to continue being king, and then ultimately the next woman that we're going to get to is Matilda of Scotland, like you just talked about. Matilda of Scotland is the wife of Henry I of England.
And that was Matilda and William the Conqueror's son, correct?
Yes, one of his sons.
So now, Mr. and Mrs. Conqueror's son.
Yes.
Yes, got it.
So after William dies, his son William Rufus becomes king. Okay. William Rufus had no legitimate children and on a bros day out with Henry died in a quote-unquote hunting accident.
I see. It's one of those questionable ones where, older brother's king, let's go out hunting. And we had a bad accident.
We had a terrible accident and he doesn't have any kids. Oh, well, I guess it's my turn. Obviously not provable. And then, you know, who's going to question the guy who says that whenever he's now king? It makes it difficult. So we had William Rufus. He's now gone. So now the king is Henry I. And Henry I's wife was Matilda of Scotland, who we just briefly talked about. She was the goddaughter of Matilda of Flanders. So you can kind of see how things kind of run in circles here. Mm-hmm. And there was the story of her seeming to pull off the headdress so that she would become queen. Now, she was born in circa 1077, and she was queen. She became queen on November 11th, 1100. She became queen upon her marriage. So that mean, what I mean by that is that her husband was already king when she married him. She was born to Margaret, the daughter of a Saxon royal woman who actually had to flee to Scotland after the Norman conquest, because obviously the Normans came in and they kicked out the Saxon King Harold Godwinson. And so her mother had to flee to Scotland. And she is also the daughter of the young King Malcolm III of Scotland. Now, Malcolm III of Scotland is a character in Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Okay.
So it all kind of ties in together there. Her grandfather, so her father's father, Duncan, is the one who's betrayed by Macbeth in that story.
In the story. Very interesting.
Now, she was originally named Edith when she was born, because Edith is a Saxon name, and she came from Saxon lineage with her mother. But her name was changed most likely in honor of Matilda of Flanders.
Now, there was a little bit of question, wasn't there? Because didn't she take, early on in her life, didn't she take some nuns as a vow, or vows as a nun? And it was kind of done to kind of protect her. Her father wanted to protect her from William II of England, correct?
Now, she says that she did not take those vows to become a nun. So in 1093, her father and brother are killed in England following a dispute with King William Rufus. That would be the son of William the Conqueror, the one who died on the Bro's Day Out. When William Rufus died without an heir, his brother Henry had become King Henry I, and he sought to marry Matilda. Probably because of her strong Saxon lineage, a majority of people in England were in favor of the union, because Matilda was the descendant of a beloved Saxon king, Alfred the Great. So it would have really continued to bring England together. You know, William the Conqueror has come over and conquered it, but now we're trying to integrate a little bit. We're going to, you know, try and get the Saxons on side by bringing in a queen who is the descendant of Saxon lineage. However, there was the rumor that Matilda, who she'd been living with her Aunt Christina, who was a nun, at a convent, and there were rumors that she was already a nun, and if that were the case, she would be ineligible for marriage. And the church led an inquiry into this, but Matilda refused wholeheartedly to say she was a nun. She said she wasn't a nun. She said her father never wanted her to be a nun, and she didn't want to be a nun, and she wanted to get married. So she was insistent, and her aunt was furious with her. Whether or not she had taken the vows, I don't know, but no matter what, it wasn't something her heart would have been in anyway. So the royal wedding took place at Westminster on November 11th, at St. Martin, which is St. Martin's Day. The chronicler William of Malmesbury claims that the Archbishop Anselm, who had, gone with the marriage, he recounted the inquiry as to whether Matilda was a nun, and stated that the final opinion was that Matilda was free to wed. He asked the crowd in the congregation to confirm this decision, and they did so by chanting, "Long live Queen Matilda."
Interesting.
So everyone was on side that she should be allowed to be queen.
Now, after this, I guess, there were some, she was kind of given a nickname. Her and her husband were given a nickname, Godric and Godiva.
Godric and Godiva, yeah.
Kind of an,
I thought you were going to go with her Good Queen Maud title.
Well, and that one too. I mean, there was the Good Queen Maud. Why Maud?
It's just a form of Matilda.
Okay.
Kind of bringing in a French a little bit, I think.
Okay.
You see a lot of name changes around because, I mean, you just think of it like languages, you know, like John in English and Juan in Spanish and so on and so forth. So Matilda Maud just kind of forms of a name.
Well, and myself, appreciating the arts and especially being a musician, I guess she was quite a patron of the arts and especially of music, wasn't she?
A very big patron of arts, and she was devoted to doing charitable work. She was devoted to art projects. That's part of what got her name of Good Queen Maud, was because she was so devoted to charitable works and donating money for hospitals and houses. And so her subjects loved her. They adored her. And they're the ones that gave her the title of Good Queen Maud and Good Queen Matilda.
Well, and because of that, King Henry, I guess, made numerous grants to the queen, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, here, honey, here's a grant for you.
Yeah, here, honey, here's some money.
Yeah. But apparently there was a lot of property in London at the time, which was more of a political move. And I think that kind of, from what I understand, it kind of helped win over some of the Londoners who were vehement supporters of the Wessex kings.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's pretty good summary. Good job. You did your homework.
Thank you.
Good job. And then as far as her marriage to Henry, it seems to, for all intents and purposes, be a respectful relationship. And it led to a respectful relationship between Henry I and Matilda's brothers, which resulted in good relations and peace, pretty much, between England and Scotland, which isn't always the case whenever you look at the history of the two countries. Matilda would sometimes attempt to play the role of peacemaker between Henry I and his older brother, Robert, because Robert was actually the first son of William and Matilda. I mentioned him briefly, and I mentioned how they were estranged, and so he never became king. You can kind of see where he would have been hurt by that, and so she had to play peacemaker a little bit. But then Matilda and William's children, they had a son named Richard who died young, and then they had a son named William who was the heir apparent to his father, but he died in a shipwreck rather tragically. So their daughter, who also was named Matilda, became their heir apparent. You can see this would be a sticky situation, as many did not have faith in a woman being a monarch in her own right. So the whole idea of, well, the boy heirs are gone, we have this girl left, and we want her to rule next, it didn't really sit great. And after the death of Henry I, it eventually led to a civil war between Matilda and her male cousin, Stephen. The Empress Matilda, so the daughter of Matilda of Scotland, Good Queen Maud, was never officially crowned, but her son, so Matilda of Scotland's grandson, mm-hmm. would wear the crown. So it kind of skews off the direct descendant course for a little bit and then comes back in through the grandson of Good Queen Maud.
Well, and I think it's interesting too. She, like you mentioned earlier, going back, she was really adored by the people, I guess, wasn't she?
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I found, just kind of before we get to her death and kind of her legacy after, she really tried to help the people with a lot of basic things that we consider basic things now, but were really good, like just putting piped in water and bathhouses in the poor areas mm-hmm. and stuff. And I think that she also founded at least 2 leper hospitals.
Yes, multiple hospitals, multiple charity houses.
Yeah, and
money into charitable work.
You know, it kind of reminds me of what Princess Diana did.
Yeah,
you know, in a way.
I see that very much so.
Yeah,
that is kind of a legacy that
really
has gone on with
adored her, queens. You know, because of what she did mm-hmm. to help the poor mm-hmm. and you know, just the common people of the kingdom.
Yeah, I think that's a really good analogy. I think that is a really good analogy. And so we'll finish up, I guess, just kind of letting you know her outcome, but she predeceased her husband, and he would go on to marry again, who is the woman we'll talk about next after our break. But she died in May of 1118. She was roughly the age of 40, and she is laid to rest in Westminster Abbey.
I love the inscription that's on her tomb. Mm-hmm. It reads, "Here lies the renowned Queen Matilda II, excelling both young and old of her day. She was for everyone the benchmark of morals and the ornament of life."
It's beautiful, huh?
It's quite fitting for someone like she was.
Mm-hmm. And in a beautiful place. I've been to Westminster Abbey. It's gorgeous and a wonderful place to be. And who, you know.
Well, and it's really interesting.
900 years later.
And now you can actually go see a lot more about Matilda Scotland on the website that you created for the University of Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, all of them are on here. I'm trying not to be too pluggy, but yeah.
But yeah, it's just really interesting because you can actually see the pictures of Westminster Abbey and see where she's buried and her lineage and everything.
Yes, and you can see where everybody was. So that takes us through 2 queens. We're going to take a short break and then we'll get back and we'll do 2 more. They shouldn't be as long, but I really wanted to get through 4 for this podcast. So we'll take a short break, get a drink, and then we'll come back. All right, welcome. welcome back after our extended break. We ended up on like a 2-hour break, but we came back. We wanted to finish and talk about two more of these women. And the next one is, again, it's French, so I'm so sorry, but Adelaïse of Louvain, however you say that. And she was the second wife of Henry I, became his wife after the death of his first wife, Matilda of Scotland, Good Queen Maud, who we've already talked about.
So from what I understand, she was quite a bit younger than Henry. I mean, he was like 35 years older.
Yeah. Right? So it's hard to actually pinpoint the date of Adelaïse's birth. It's somewhere around 1103 to 1106. And that's just because of different conflicting accounts. Those things can happen if things are just written down slightly incorrectly, translated incorrectly. Someone had scrawly penmanship. But she was much younger than William. She would have been between the ages of 16 and 18, and he would have been 53 when they were married. Despite being beautiful, and according to one author, the Bishop of Rheims, she was the Queen of Angels, her youth and good looks were most likely not why Henry resolved to marry her. However, he was insanely heartbroken over the death of Matilda of Scotland, Good Queen Maud, his first wife, which had occurred 3 years prior to his marriage to Adelaïse. However, again, that lack of a male heir made him feel it was necessary to remarry and try and have another son, because like I mentioned before, his son with Matilda had died in a shipwreck, and therefore he had no male heir. So he felt the need to remarry. Despite the desperation for a son, 6 years of marriage came and went with no children, and Henry's daughter and heir apparent Matilda was married and then had a son in 1133 named Henry. Again,
it's kind of confusing with all these Matildas and Henrys, doesn't
it? Everyone's named after the same thing, and it goes through phases. Like, there's a whole bunch of people named Matilda for a few generations, and then there's lots of people named Elizabeth or Isabella or Margaret, and it's just crazy. But anyway, with no children coming, Henry resolved that his daughter and then her infant son should be his successor. However, despite the difference in age, the marriage seems to have been pleasant enough, because the couple did spend most of their marriage together. A lot of times when you have marriages that aren't really working out and they're not really happy, they'll find reasons to separate from one another. I'll go hang out over here, you hang out over here. But Adelaïse and Henry spent most of their time together. So even though it's likely that he was, more in love with his first wife and mourning her death, there was at least a friendly rapport between the two, which sometimes in these situations is almost one of the better case scenarios. Henry died in 1135, which left Adelaïse a widow. She resided in French again, Arundel Castle. And 3 years after the death of Henry, she married again to a man named William, who was the first Earl of Arundel. So that is an example going to show that just because, a widowed queen can remarry, she's not outcast from marriage for the rest of her days. She doesn't have to go live in a convent somewhere. She can marry again.
Now, was she still considered the queen at that time or no? Or was it a title that she held, but she didn't have any powers, or how does that work?
So it kind of depends on where it comes from. So sometimes, like, if there is a child, like a male heir, then you will be queen mother, mother of the king, queen regent. Also kind of depends somewhat a little bit on the political nature of what's going on around you at the time, kind of on the power structure going around, how much power the queen would have had in her own right. In Adelaïse's case, because she was so much younger than Henry, and because she kind of came into the picture a little bit later, she was really just his wife and his queen. And so after his death and she kind of went back to closer to where she came from, she would, the best term would be a dowager queen or dowager queen, depending on how you pronounce it, which just means that you were the queen and now you're not.
Okay.
So it is still a title worthy of respect, but it is no longer queen.
And I guess whenever she passed away, though, now she was actually buried with Henry.
She was. Oh, yeah, she was.
That was at Reading Abbey, I think. Is that correct?
I believe so. Let me double check. Yep. And she also has There's variations of her name also exist, depending on the account you're reading. She could be called Alice, Alex, or Adalys. And even though she had no children with Henry, she did ultimately have children with her second husband, 4 sons and 3 daughters. And she founded a convent, donated money for the buildings of monasteries and churches. So again, kind of some charitable donations and good work, kind of like Good Queen Maud, who came before her. And she also maintained a pretty good relationship with her stepdaughter, Matilda. Now, like I said before, there was this big conflict after the death of Henry as to who would succeed him, because he wanted it to be his daughter, Matilda, and then Matilda's son, Henry II, to come after him. However, because Matilda, she married a Frenchman, she was in France whenever Henry died, and so Henry's nephew kind of slid in and had said, I'm the closest and oldest male relative. And so he became king, and he became King Stephen, and there was a long civil war between the two. And as far as, there's not much about what Adeliza got up to during this war, but there is some evidence that she did welcome Matilda into her home on multiple occasions. So there was at least some good nature going on between stepmother and stepdaughter. But they would have been close in age, and I'll have to double check it. Matilda might have been a little bit older than her as well. So,
interesting. Okay.
All right, yeah.
So, and then that moves us on to Matilda
of Bouillon.
Okay.
I know, it's so many French names, and I didn't do French, I did Spanish, so.
Right.
But, so Adeliza, she lives, she marries again, she has multiple children with her new husband, and she died at about the age of 48 in 1151. And then we'll move on to Matilda of Bouillon, who will be the final queen that we'll talk about in this first little segment for our chronology here. And Matilda of Bouillon, she is the wife of King Stephen, who I just mentioned.
Okay, so that's how she fits in.
I'm going to try and paint the picture
because,
a little bit.
Yeah, because from what I understand, she was considered the queen consort of England.
Yeah, and that means wife.
Wife of.
So we started off with William the Conqueror, right?
Right.
William the Conqueror and his wife named Matilda. Now, Stephen, King Stephen, and okay. Empress Matilda are both grandchildren of William the Conqueror.
Okay.
Stephen is the grandson of William the Conqueror through William's daughter.
All right.
And Matilda is the granddaughter of William through William's son.
Oh, geez. So they were cousins.
So they are first. So they are cousins. And that is where this rivalry stems from. And it stemmed from Henry I not having a living son, having a living daughter and a living infant grandson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's where this all comes from. Now, Matilda's status as the empress, as queen of England, it's contested because she never had a coronation and she was never crowned. Now, she always claimed that she was the rightful heir. And just because she never had the coronation and Stephen did, that didn't make him the rightful ruler, because it was promised to her and it should have been passed down to her and her child through her father. So it's a contested thing. Some people will say that Empress Matilda was the first queen of England. Some people will disagree because she never had a coronation. So kind of really pick your poison with that one.
Interesting. Okay.
But as far as moving on, like wife of a king, we have Matilda of Bouillon, who was Stephen's wife during the time that all of this was going on. She actually married Stephen before all of this started happening. But she was born in 1105, the only child of Eustace III of Bouillon and his wife Mary of Scotland. When I say she's born in 1105, so she's actually older than Adeliza was, the one we just talked about before.
Yeah, I was going to say, because she only died not long after Adeliza, right?
Like she was within
a year.
Yeah, she was born slightly before Adeliza. So.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that, you know, there's a generational gap here because of the age difference and things, that's how this kind of rolls. Her paternal grandfather served under William the Conqueror, and her brother and two uncles both fought in the First Crusade. Her uncle Godfrey was named the King of Jerusalem at one point in time.
Okay.
And he was in turn succeeded by his brother Baldwin. So she's got family spanning multiple places, multiple royalty, multiple families, multiple connections all over the place. Her maternal aunt was Matilda of Scotland, Good Queen Maud, who we've already talked about in this. So really, just she came from a very well-connected, very well-integrated into all of the goings-on.
So they were definitely of all in the royal family, per se.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Upon her father Eustace's death, Matilda, as the only child, inherited her father's vast wealth, which made her an incredibly desirable bride. And Henry I, before his death, arranged the marriage between her and his nephew, his sister's son, Stephen. But upon the death of Henry I, like I said, Stephen decided to claim the crown for himself, kind of under the feet of his cousin, Empress Matilda, because he was a close male relative. And the question was in the air, should it go to a woman or should it go to a close male relative? He had himself crowned in December of 1135, but Matilda was heavily pregnant at the time and did not join him at his coronation. She did not join him until 3 months later after giving birth and healing from that. She proved effectual in working to succeed a release of her husband because Stephen was taken prisoner at one point in time by Empress Matilda's forces during this civil war.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting because it was kind of an unusual act of role for her to play that whenever he was captured, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, now, that is something that has happened, that does happen later on as well. Queens do get involved in things like this, involved in terms of state, terms of ransom. Consultation when it came to war and scraps and everything going on. So she was out there and she was putting a face on it. And she was being helpful. She wasn't just sitting to the side in the middle of all of this. Terms were agreed upon for this release for Stephen in 1141, but after Empress Matilda was forced to retreat to Normandy in 1147, Stephen and Matilda Bouillon, his wife, were able to celebrate Christmas together in peace. And it is this final Christmas that Matilda's public life seems to withdraw a little bit. She started overseeing some charitable work, like a hospital and Church of St. Catherine at Faversham Abbey, which is in Kent, which is in the south of England. Matilda and Stephen had 5 children. 2 of them died young. She had 2 surviving sons named Eustace and William, the latter which succeeded her into the Earldom of Bouillon. And her daughter's name was Mary. None of her children would wear the crown. After her son Eustace's death and all of this civil war and all of this familial strife, Stephen agreed that for a peace agreement, his successor would be Henry, Empress Matilda's son. That is the grandson of Henry I. Yeah, that infant, who was an infant at the time. So that was kind of the way that this peace tentatively got agreed to. Matilda never officially got the crown, but it was promised to go to her son after the death of Stephen.
Interesting.
I can't help but wonder how Matilda might have felt about that, because it meant that none of her children would get to wear the crown. But I can see why suing for peace would be a good solution. Matilda died from a fever in Essex on May 3rd, 1151. She would have been either 46 or 47, and she is interred at Faversham Abbey, which is a place that she helped found and she beloved. The location of Faversham Abbey has since been lost. We don't know exactly where it is. We know a general idea. Stephen was deeply affected by the death of his wife, and his son's death came not long after. So it left him in a pretty poor, shambolic state.
Now, there was something interesting about Matilda. So she was French.
Yes.
Correct.
Most of the wives that I will talk about do originate from France.
One of the things that she was a very strong supporter of is something that we hear a lot. If you're a History Channel person, is she was a supporter of the Knights Templars, which is very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. The Knights Templars, they're something worthy of their own episode because, you know, a lot of people hear about Legends of the Knights Templar, right, and Dan Brown, Da Vinci Code,
right,
all of that.
But she was a strong supporter of them, actually.
This is when the Templars would have been going on forming, yes.
In fact, from what I read, she actually founded is at the Cressing Temple in Essex in 1137, mm-hmm, and then the Temple Cowley in Oxford in 1139. Yes. So she had a close relationship with the Holy Trinity Priory. Mm-hmm. I guess. So
that's a great way to contextualize it. That is a great contextualization, and thank you for bringing it up, because the Knights Templar are some of the most well-known name recognition famous when it comes to this era, and this is the era that we're talking about. This is where we are right now, is dealing with the Templars and how they were real people, and how there were real people that liked them, supported them.
Right.
And then they had their own little downfall, which will be worthy of its own episode.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure we will be talking about that
when
later.
We talk about that episode, I can, you know, contextualize it and bring it back in, because we've talked about this lovely lady before.
All right. Well, we definitely had our fill of Matildas today, didn't we?
Three Matildas, one Adeliza. Three French women and one Scottish woman. We'll continue on with this. We'll continue contextualizing. We'll keep going. The next queen that we're going to bring up, we've talked about four in this episode. The next one is all going to be about one lady, because she is worthy of her whole own episode. Her life story is big enough to fill one full episode. So while we've done four this time, she will have one. And I will preface it by saying that she is my favorite, one of my five favorite historical figures overall. And I'm so excited to talk about her next time for everybody.
And do you want to give us a hint of who that is?
I've mentioned her before. Her name is Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Okay.
And she's fabulous. So I hope to keep you around. Hope we can talk about that next time. Continue on this little chronology through medieval England, through the lens of wives and women, and keep contextualizing where everything will end up. All right. Thank you so much, co-host, for being here with me, as always. And we will see everyone next time on Medieval Me.